Blog Talk Radio.
I was a hard drinking sinner with blood on my hands. I was a hard drinking sinner, a gun in my hands, drinking 40 pounds for dinner till I met a big man. And the man said, how do we do?
Ryan, Angie is in the bedroom right now putting RJ to sleep, so hopefully she'll be joining us soon. Hope everyone's had a good weekend. I really cannot remember what we did this weekend. What did I do this weekend? I worked last night at Pizza Hut. I think that's all, everything, that's it. With this COVID stuff, the days just kind of run together. Like, literally, it's just, our friend Kristen, our adopted daughter Kristen came over and spent the night on Friday, and I went to the cabin. That's what I did. Okay, that's what I did. Oh my God. So we went out to the cabin, we had a crop night. Those of you who don't know, I'm a member of Commonwealth Researchers of the Paranormal out here in Virginia, in Richmond. And our base of operation is the cabin on 360, is located in Mechanicsville. Virginia. My friend Dennis and I were in the cabin, and we decided to have a team night over at the cabin, and a few of us showed up, and you know, the first part of the night was basically just hanging out and talking, but we went to the Brick Rancher, and we started getting a whole bunch of activity, and then people getting touched, girls were being like, had like a stabbing, or make a stabbing noise with my arm, hey, right now, like you guys can see it, but girls were, felt like they were being stabbed in the chest. One girl got touched on the butt in the basement. We were using the Necrophonic app, and you know, I'm not sure, like, what you guys think of the validity of the app, because it's big. Well, I think I paid $10 for it or something when I got it, but it's a fairly cheap app. But the stuff we've gotten down there has been like pertinent to where we are. Like, we were downstairs and we got the word demon 3 times in the basement. And a little girl, we got a voice of a little girl saying, "You scare me." It was clear as day. So I've always had good results. Well, decent results. Maybe good is not the right word, because a lot of the times we use that thing, it's hard to understand what is coming through. It sounds like half words, and when you listen to it, you know, you want to hear something. So you hear a word, you hear something that sounds like a word, or, oh, it's saying get out, because you think it's what you want to hear at the moment, but then you come back and listen to it, it's not that at all. It's something completely different. So there are a lot of times when you hear something and it's like, that's not what it is. But there are a few occasions when you go back and listen to it, you're like, holy crap, that is actually what it says. So I enjoy it. I think it's a good app. I mean, I like it. There are other apps that obviously don't work as well, that are more for entertainment, you know, like Ghost Radar. I think like Ghost Radar, Ghost Detector or something. It's like every way you turn, there's a spirit right next to you. I mean, it could be everywhere, but I don't know if a free app on the phone can pick them up like that. So anyways, if you guys are in the neighborhood and you want a good place to come investigate the paranormal, I would definitely suggest coming out to the cabin on 360. It's two houses, cabin in the Brick Rancher, and 7.2 acres of haunted Civil War battlefield. So, a girl was actually murdered in the Brick Rancher. So it's just a hodgepodge of paranormal activity out there. So, anywho, I can't believe it is the last day of February. This year has gone by fast. It feels like, you know, it feels like my life has gone by fast ever since COVID started. So it's like one big, long, like, endless day. I don't know. If I didn't have holidays or vacations and stuff to break up the monotony, I'd have no idea what day it was or even what month it is. But I'm actually having a 2-year-old keeps me busy too. So there's that. So yeah. It's almost March. It's almost St. Patrick's Day. Almost time to wear green. Almost time for the spring and daylight savings time. And what I call the worst time of year is pollen time, because I'm absolutely miserable for the next month. Well, whenever the pollen starts coming, oh my God, it sucks. Not a big fan. It sucks. I'm ready for winter to be over, but at the same time, I know what's ahead of me. And I'm like, ugh. If there wasn't for pollen, I think spring would be my second favorite time of the year. But yeah, spring kind of ruins it. So I don't even know what my second favorite time of year is, honestly. Hey, I don't like being super cold. I don't like being super hot. I don't like pollen. So after fall, all the seasons can like beat each other up for the worst season to me, anyways. So, anyways, I'm rambling on about stupid stuff. So, Let me get to my guest tonight. This is, well, it's a long, I'm going to say third time's a charm. I think that fits nicely here. I was supposed to have her on the show back in January, but I had a problem with my computer, and I could not advertise the show as much as we would like. So we pushed the show back, and it was some miscommunication. That thought we were supposed to have her on the show last week, but she thought we were supposed to have her on the show this week. So we moved the show from last week to this week. So I'm super excited to have Melody on the show, or Bruce on the show. I know she was on Howie Odell's show a few months ago, and I think, man, I should have her on the show too. So I reached out to her, and she was nice enough to join us tonight. So I'm going to go ahead and put her on right now. Hello, welcome.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Just, hanging out.
Awesome. With the rambling. That's okay. It's cool. It was interesting listening. So it's Brook. It's German, so it's Brook.
Brook.
Sounds like a K instead of an H.
Right.
But that's all good. They call me the tattooed medium. So I go more by the tattooed medium than I do my own name. I wanted to tap in real quick and tell you that you were talking about the Necrophonics app.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorites. One of my favorites.
Oh, so you... Okay, good. I use that as well. Yeah, when I get an app that's fairly cheap, I'm always like kind of skeptical about it, but I've always had good results
mm-hmm.
with it. You know,
right?
And I'm glad you chimed in with that.
Yeah, it's crazy. I did. I worked a. I was what do you call it? Spotlighted at a tattoo convention there in Gettysburg. And all the pinup girls that worked that event wanted to have a private reading, but they wanted to do the ghost box. You know, they wanted to do the app. So we all went into a room, and the app literally, I mean, this thing was amazing. Their family members were coming through, and they were using their names, and they said my name. And so, yeah, I love that app, actually. I think it's pretty awesome. It works really great.
I was with well, here's Angie. She came in to join us.
Hi, sorry for the late arrival.
That's all good.
We did a necrophonic session at Cold Harbor Battlefield in Mechanicsville.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, was it you that asked what happened out here?
Yeah.
She asked what happened out here, and a voice came through clear as day on the necrophonic saying, it's in the museum.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I love it.
There, I like it.
Yeah, I'm like, I mean, it's in a museum. Of course, they didn't know it's closed because of COVID at the time. You know,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, and Howie was actually
cool.
In the Brick Rancher beside the cabin, and
mm-hmm.
a bunch of stuff coming through on the app. And he asked, he says, slow down. And a spirit comes through and says, no, damn it.
That's awesome. Sounds about right.
Yeah, especially over there. They're not very nice over there. They're very, pretty much want to kill everybody who goes in there. So that's,
yeah, that's what I've heard. That's what I've heard. I've never investigated that stuff.
So. Oh man, we should come out here sometime and join us for an investigation. We would love to have you come do a reading on the house and see what you pick up on.
Mhm. I could do that. That would be cool.
That would be awesome. Yeah, because there's definitely a lot of activity out there that different spirits and stuff there. So, how did you get the name Tattooed Medium?
Because I'm tattooed. I said, I'm pretty covered with tattoos.
Here on the
and I needed that. What do they call it? You know, I don't know, that other person in my head kind of thing. You know, that telling me this is, you need to be somebody else. You know what I mean? It's like, so it's just what I came up with, and it.
So is that more like?
I
was gonna be like, okay, so tell us about yourself and, you know, what you do. But I have to know. So, what is your favorite tattoo? I'll ask the serious
question. I think if I had to look at myself here, I would have to say my favorite tattoo is a flash art piece that I got at the tattoo convention last year. It's old school with the heart. You know how you have the ribbon through it and it says mom or dad? It has both parents.
Yeah.
It says mom and dad on it. It's just an old school tattoo. And it's, I'd say, one of my favorites. Just a simple piece.
I have tattoos. Ryan does not.
That's why the whole tattoo thing was confusing to me. That's why I asked that question.
I'm trying to convince him.
I would love to get a tattoo. I just know what I want to get that would be, like, permanent. What was your first tattoo? You're like, this is what I want to do.
My first tattoo, I had a good friend of mine open a shop up in Arlington, Virginia, and he actually tattooed a music note on my ankle, and then I had some, I have to look at it, some solar system, or solar, yeah, the solar, you know, Saturn and the stars and stuff, sun put on my leg, just to see how it felt. So those were my basic with ankle tattoos, and then it just went from there, and now it's just crazy.
So I'm guessing it felt okay.
They're addicting.
They are very addicting.
I mean,
very addicting. Very
it's crazy,
addicting.
Man. And if you don't have one, like some people, they just don't get it. Like they just don't understand. But that first one,
I think,
draws you in.
I think it would have to be like one of those spontaneous things, like we're going to go get a tattoo and we're just going to do it and not think about it.
You,
right?
No, that's not good. That's not good for you.
You think so?
That I could wake up, go get a tattoo. You know, you'd like drive the tattoo artist crazy.
Are you sure this is what I want to get? Yeah.
Are you sure? You tell me what to get. That's what you'd be like. You just tell me what I should get. Do you think I should get this?
What do you think? I'd like pass surveys in the tattoo parlor. You know.
Right.
All right. So now I'll get serious now. So tell us a little bit about your gift and how you realized that you were a medium.
I've come to understand that I've had these gifts since I was young. Growing up, of course, like I tell everybody, that my mom kept me very in tune with my gifts.
Okay.
You know, she said I always had my make-believe friends. I remember seeing my grandparents when they passed. I saw my dogs. I saw everybody after they passed. And I had my make-believe crew, and she said I would take them to the store with me, and they would always hang out with me, and she went with it. My mom's very, very much in tune. I would call her a medium, but she doesn't practice her gifts. I will literally say it runs in my family, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Ever since I was young, through school, people would ask me where things were. It's funny because I saw a post on Facebook the other day from my old middle school, and they were talking about a teacher who ended up shooting himself in the head because he was being accused of molesting boys. Well, I'm going to tell you, when I went to school and I was in his class, I heard this, and I remember going to the school and saying something to them. And they didn't appreciate me saying this because they said I was crazy. They said, you can't accuse somebody you don't know, you know, you're crazy. And I remember them, this was before, you know, before he killed himself. But I remember they would bring a psychiatrist in and they tried to do those ink dot tests and all that stuff. And my mom pulled me out of it, said, no, she's not crazy. This is her. You know, she just knows things. Well, come to find out years down the road, he was doing it, and he ended up taking his own life, so he didn't have to go to jail for it. So But I do remember going through that middle school. I remember that clearly. Being tested
that
for that,
like,
because they said I was the one that was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And look at them now.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just growing up, you know, my mom would always, like, test me, find this, find that. Do you know where this is? Do you know where that is?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she would just test me around the house, like, to find things. And it just, I just always help people. Always.
So how did the first conversation go with your mom? Like, how did you talk to her about it? Did she tell you that you have a gift? How'd that go?
With my mom?
Yeah, with your mom. Was it like a very young age?
Oh, she just,
that you said,
oh yeah, I was just a little kid. She pushed my gifts on me more and more. She's the one who helped me with my gifts. She helped me stay in touch with the spirit world. Because, you know, when we become five, we turn like five
mm-hmm.
or six, what happens? We eventually start getting into, like, nowadays, these days,
yeah.
it's more like phones, iPads, you know. But, you know, back then we would play outside, you know, we would lose track of the spirit world. You know, we would become more into the material world. Well, my mom
yeah.
kept me pretty much in the material world. I really didn't have many friends. Like, I had friends, but I never had people over. I mean, I had one friend that was, I would say, maybe growing up that I would let over. I just didn't want to talk to anybody. I was very introverted. And, you know, this is basically all I've ever done my whole life, except for, you know, work material jobs here and there, but this is it.
Now, do you think do you think the, like, with the tablets and the phone and everything, do you think it's hindering children's ability to work on their spiritual gifts, or if they have them, to, like, notice it when they're not really, like, noticing the outside
so.
The world?
I think kids are
on.
Too much into their phones and tablets. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think that you have to come out of that material world. I mean, some games and stuff are kind of cool because it, you know, puts you into a different world. You know, I can't say that. So some games do put you into a different world. But, you know, like me, I have a reading room, okay? I have a room at the house that's a very spiritual room, okay? It's painted. It's a certain color. It's very, very relaxing when you walk in here. I have huge, massive crystals everywhere. It's very spiritual. I don't like to leave this room because when I walk out that door, I'm walking into, like, to the material world again. Okay. So I stay very spiritual. Oh, you know, I don't even like leaving the house at much. So unless I'm, you know, going out to do readings or, you know, big events in other states, but I pretty much stay in my spirit world all the time.
That's good and comforting.
You're safe.
How has COVID kind of affected your ability to be able to do readings? Like, are you still able to, like, meet with people, or was that not a thing you really did anyway?
I cut off the in-person reading. I didn't have people coming over, so I did mostly videos, but it didn't affect us at all. You know, people still get readings. Advice, a lot of mentoring. I do a lot of mentoring for people, you know, classes. So I'm really pretty busy, you know. Let's see, back 2011, 10 and 11, I worked on the Travel Channel. 2017, I was on the Discovery Channel. So I try to stay busy. I try to just stay busy as much as possible. Now I'm kind of like in my little spirit room. I don't want to get out. So hopefully
yeah.
spring will come and I'll get the itch to go outside more.
I don't know. I like my little room.
I know, right?
So I
yeah.
can
mm-hmm.
feel like I escape out of that.
I think everybody's turning to that now. Like, they just want to stay in their space. Like, you know, you're comfortable.
Yeah.
You don't want to leave your space now.
Me and Angie have arguments.
Which one?
Well, this is about the salt lamp.
Oh.
Uh-huh. I have a in my room, and I like to keep it on, but Angie doesn't like it. I'm like, well, it's Was it? Is there the negative ions or something in the room? Or?
I just don't like it because I can literally, like, feel the energy coming off of it. And it kind of creeps me out a little bit. Like, I just don't like the feeling I get when it's on.
What are your thoughts on...
So she's very sensitive to things. It's like your senses, okay? It's like your sense. She's sensing the energy that comes from it, and she's not sure how to accept that energy, okay? Me, I have them all over the place. I have them, selenite lamp. I love them because I look at them as relaxing. So you just have to redirect your mind, your focus, and not think about, like, them being, you know, scary in any way, but yet they're there to relax you. They're there for calming. So you just have to say, okay, they're calming.
Yeah, it's an orange color. Maybe it's a color. An orange color to it.
Yeah, you can buy white Himalayan salt lamps. You can buy selenite lamps that are white.
Yeah, let's go with the white one.
Really nice
color.
It could be. Maybe I'll move it out here.
I don't know. Don't fill the color.
Yeah, we need to have all nice calming energy here.
Oh, I can agree with that. We have a 2-year-old who is completely off the chain. There is nothing calming about this kid. But he's all boy.
Is this a little girl? Is this a little girl?
No,
it's a boy.
Little boy? Okay.
Yeah.
I hear girls around you as well. Do you have girls?
Yes, we do.
We have 2 older girls.
Lord
thought it was a funny to give us a baby when we had a 12-year-old and a 16-year-old, 15-year-old.
Technically, we have 3 because we kind of adopted daughter who comes over and hangs out here all the time. So we have 2 15-year-olds and 1 17-year-old and a 2-year-old.
It's a crazy household.
Because mom's side of the family, I have a grandmother energy that's stepping forward talking about the girls. So I would just know that she's definitely around your children.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, it's definitely...
talking about the kids.
There's definitely something in this house.
Oh, for sure.
That it's... we have things fall off the shelves. The other day, we were watching TV, and Angie was sitting on the couch, and I was sitting on the couch opposite her, but she could see the kitchen from where she was sitting, and she was like, is RJ in bed? Because she had put him to sleep. I'm like, yeah, I guess. And she said, I swear it looks like someone walked into the kitchen. So I walk into the bedroom. And, of course, Angie can't even talk. RJ is fast asleep.
Yeah, but, I mean, I
are you taking stuff home? Are you bringing stuff home from your investigation?
I have no idea.
I hope
possibility.
Not. But he hadn't been in the cabin in a while. If you hadn't known the cabin,
not to do investigation. I mean, you know, I go there sometimes to drop stuff off and you know, clean up a little bit. But as far as investigating,
it sounds like you're pretty open too to spirit. So when you're open like that, you just leave that door open. You know, like me, what I tell people, like I do, I take my shoes off at the door. I don't walk in the house with my shoes on. I kind of keep it clean, wipe it. You know what I mean? In the sense of nothing will follow me in. And I also, if I do investigations or I go out in public or whatever, I smudge, I sage, or, you know, you don't even have to really sage, you know, any kind of prayer intent, like, no, stay back, you're not allowed in my house, this is my home, this is my protection, nobody's allowed in here, period. You know, it's just putting it out there, like, if there's somebody in here, there's the window, open it, get out, you know, and just, you got to keep things protected because they will follow you around, especially if you're very open to it or you do go to do investigations. They will follow
you.
I had that
one night when I was at work and you called me. She called me frantic and you can tell her what happened.
Yeah, I mean, nothing ever really gets to me. Like, I don't get scared very often. I don't really get out of my, I don't go into panic mode. But my son was throwing a complete temper tantrum. Like, just, I don't even know. It was bedtime. He wasn't having it. Game was over. He was just standing there. And so I was like, fine, just sleep on the floor. And so he's standing there screaming, and my bedroom door was shut. And then next thing, he just turns around, and he looks at the bedroom door, and he starts pointing. And then instead of crying, he just starts screaming and saying, no, 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 no. And then he could not get into that bed fast enough. And he put the blanket over his head, and he was like, no, no. Like, that kind of unnerved me because I'm like, I mean, I'm sensitive. I pick up on spirits. I've, you know, seen things and like I don't know if I was just in my emotion with him like being so frantic as he was, but like I didn't pick up on anything. I didn't see anything. I didn't sense anything. So that like scared the crap out of me because like I couldn't protect my child from what he was seeing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. So I called him and I'm like, this is what happened. Like, what the heck?
Right. And that's the age that, you know, they're seeing things. They're very in tune to the spirit world, so they're going to see them. I mean, it's pretty simple. They will see them. Now, can I ask you a question? Is somebody in your family, maybe in the past, I'm seeing, and I don't know why, like when you guys are talking, I'm seeing somebody with those round glasses. Okay, I see a male energy with round glasses.
It's a male energy? Because my grandma, classic old lady, big, like round glasses.
These almost seem old glasses. Like, I'm going to have to say early 1900s.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it could be like great grandparents. Is it attached to us or is it attached to like the building? Because it could be someone like had a house here or something.
Yeah, it's definitely somebody that's in the house. I've definitely seen the glasses. I don't feel like it's bad in any way. I just feel like he's just trying to make his point. Just letting you know he's around.
Oh, we know. We know.
Right? Yeah, they definitely, the door will open by itself sometimes, and it's freaky.
But it doesn't ever bother.
What was that?
I was like, you know, all the stuff that happens to him, it's never bothered me until that night.
That's crazy. Well, you just have to, you got to try to, you know, educate maybe a little more about the spirits and understanding, you know, clear your house once a week, you know, with sage or, you know, take a pot of water and boil some water on the stove, put some orange slices, some lemon, and some cinnamon sticks, and just refresh the house. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
You got to do something to get rid of the old and bring in the new fresh air. So something has to be done, especially if you guys did locations and stuff like that.
Yeah, the cabinet's pretty dark. There's a lot of dark energy, especially in the brick rancher. But I've never thought about it. I've never really thought I've had anybody come home with me.
Are you kidding me? At least once a month, I'm like, don't bring anything home with you.
Well,
be careful.
Well, the thing to do with that is just like when you're at the cabin and you're done and you're getting ready to step in your car, before you step into that vehicle, you need to be like, don't step into this car with me. You do not belong with me. Go back and stay. You know what I mean? You will not ride with me. You will not follow me. Stay. I have brought kids home before. And physically seen them, my daughter's seen them. So, you know, now it's just like, nope, I don't go places where I know I'll bring them home. And if I do, I pretty much have to put it out there like, no, you're not coming home with me. Stay here.
So I've got a question. Let's say I take two mediums to the cabin, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And they both see two different things. Now, are the spirits, is it dependent on the spirits showing themselves to you, or can mediums pick up on energy regardless if the spirits show themselves or not? Or is there different kinds of mediums where some mediums have to be shown?
I think there's different types of mediums. I think everybody picks up things differently. Sometimes people, you know, like if there's two people together that are in tune, sometimes they work really good together. Other times they may not work as well together and pick up two different things. But and what happens there is one medium might be picking up on the other medium's energy, and that's how that works. You know what I mean? Both of them, then they'll get the same thing together. But I mean, it's kind of cool sometimes seeing two different perspectives or two different, you know, things. Every medium's different in how they read and what they pick up, you know. So yeah, everybody's different.
Oh,
me, I just literally talk to spirits all the time. Pretty much all the time.
What were you saying?
I was just saying, if I walk into a building, if there is a child there, it is right by my side. Like, always. That would be the first thing I pick up on is a child spirit.
We have very nurturing nature.
Aww.
Right, and you're a mommy, so, right? Didn't you just say you have a child? Little one? Yeah,
oh, yeah,
so you're still, you know, your mom?
Before I like, I've always, I guess, been a child magnet.
Right. Oh, cool. So they just go to you. Everyone, like I said, everyone's different in that sense. Everyone will pick up different things. I do feel like there is a kid there. There's a little girl at the cabin. I feel like she's kind of stuck there.
We've got EVPs from her. Actually,
yeah.
I'm not sure if that's the little girl that we captured on the necrophonic saying, "You scare me." Which I don't know what we're doing. That was scary, except maybe the necrophonic was sounding scary because it's the way it sounds anyway.
Right.
But see that the girl who was murdered there was a 12-year-old.
Yeah, but this is different.
It's a younger girl. Yeah, it's not her, but
So there's a child there. Gotcha.
Yeah, there's definitely I've picked up on a younger girl and her brother, actually. They're usually together there. So I think we have gotten EVP.
We haven't picked up the young boy though.
And we've never
Did anybody talk about trains? What's with the trains? Is there a train nearby or something?
Nearby the cabin?
Something. Is there something about trains over there? Or what's with little trains? Or trains?
Yeah. Maybe there was somebody had a train set in the house, because it was the rancher was a residence for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So there may have been someone who, but there's no real train tracks nearby, is there?
I mean, not nearby the cabin, but.
Okay. Well, someone's talking about trains.
Maybe
not
I should.
Cool.
Yeah. We'll talk.
They definitely
we'll
hang around
them.
You, so. They definitely hang around you.
So they hang around us, like me or Angie?
Like here or at the cabin?
Well, I'm picking them up because they're talking about, you know, their thing or whatever they like, so.
Hmm.
And I'm picking them up. So they're probably hanging out with you. Well, I heard the little girl. And then I heard something about trains.
Interesting. We'll have to ask about that.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll buy a little toy train or something for him and see if we could get any.
Lord, buy one. Let's just take
one. That would be cool. Like, get a little toy train, like a caboose or something, and get one of those little cat balls that have the LED light and hook it, like somehow get it attached to it and tell them to touch it or something. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
What
then
is
you can get them to touch the light.
Interaction you've had with a spirit, would you say, or just like a great story?
Oh, well, I've had a few. Let's see. Well, you know, we all have spirit guides, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
You're born with a main spirit guide. Okay. This person leads you through life, helps you out, guides you along your way. Okay.
Yeah. I'm on a permanent vacation.
And I know, a lot of people have heard this story, but I literally was at one of the lowest points of my life back in 2009, and it was a bad situation. And I remember just like crying out, screaming, going, "Okay, you know what?" because she was showing me things that were real, but I was to the point like, "Okay, if I need to make this decision, you know, show me you're real." And I was screaming like, you know, hysterical, you know, and The next thing I know, I look over and I see this beautiful white silhouette of a face. And she didn't have hair, nothing like that, but she was just white. And everything stopped. It was calm. It was almost like heaven sent. It was peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, whoa, all right, I'm good. You know, like the tears, the screaming, everything stopped. And I was like, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. And then she slowly faded away. So she actually came to me and said, yeah, I'm real. So I've seen her. I talk to her now a lot. Like me and her have conversations. I can literally hear her voice. It's very angelic, very beautiful. So, yeah, that was probably one of the worst. As for like ghost, I remember me and my daughter going to a graveyard, not a cemetery. It was called a graveyard. And we both started getting really sick. And I said, look, we need to go. I can't stay here. I'm going to get sick. Like, I feel really sick here. And she felt the same way. So we got in the Jeep and we left, went home. That evening, I lived in one of those A-frame homes where huge window in the front. Okay. So I sleep up top and I heard something in the living room. So I looked over the loft and I looked at the reflection in the window and there was a little boy there. And he had one of those, he had black hair, but he had like a bowl cut haircut. And he looked up at me and he took off running and he ran to the back towards the bathroom. And I was like, oh my God, I brought something home. So I run down the steps and my daughter flings her door open and she's like, oh my God, Mom, some little boy just gave me his sister. And it was like a little baby. And I was like, oh no, we got to get rid of these guys. But it took us a couple weeks to really like clear the house, smudge every single day, you know. It was a lot, but we moved them on. But it was very interesting seeing that, you know, it was clear as day, clear as day.
Wow.
Wow, that's...
There's lots of stories, but that's pretty much cool ones.
Yeah.
So when you see a spirit, does it show up to you, like, how it died, like, if someone, or is it, does it look...
I'll say this. Before I started practicing really, you know, like when I was like in my mid-20s, when I really started practicing this more and understanding it, you know, they would show me things like in my mom's house, like growing up in my mom's house, there was always a man in the back room. You had to walk through a couple hallways. He had this black hat on. And I was always scared to go back there. I always saw him, okay? So I always flipped the lights on. So until I got older, I didn't know who the man was. And then my mom showed me a picture with my grandfather who actually committed suicide. So now I figured out who that was. There was also a death of a good friend of ours in a car accident. And I'm not going to get into the whole thing because these things, you know, they leave imprints, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when I asked her to show me how she passed, because people were like asking, what happened? Why did the car flip? Why did it catch on fire? What, you know, what happened? You know, and she literally showed me everything. You know, she showed me her with her burning, catching on fire. I saw every little detail. So, so after that, I said, look, I had this little one-on-one with my guide. I said, from now on, I don't want to see how people die. Ever again, I don't ever want to see somebody suffering. How I work my readings is they can tell me how they died, you know, but they can't show me how they died because I refuse to see it ever again since that. And they do, like I literally hear how people have passed and I don't want to see how they passed because it's an absolutely horrible imprint that I leave. And I like to bring loving messages to people. I don't want to bring anything like that to anybody ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
That'd be tough. Yeah. Especially on a consistent basis where mm-hmm. you talk to spirits, where it would drive me crazy. I would not be able to deal with that. How long
it's
take
exhausting.
You to,
right?
How long it takes to get over or get past what that showed you.
I can't get over. I can't pass that. Like I can't. It's an imprint that I'll never get rid of. I'll never forget seeing what I saw. You know, I'll never forget what they showed me and how she passed. And I, you know, I don't even know how to explain it. It's something that I learned, you know, and it's funny because, you know, like I said, growing up like this, I want to help people. What I heard I need to do is bring loving messages for people who need it. Okay. And I stick to that. Okay. I stick to that. I'll never, ever, there's golden rules in the universe, and I know this for a fact, you never tell somebody when they're going to die, okay?
Amen.
Never, ever tell somebody, never. That's not our job. That's God's job. We leave it to God in the universe. They're going to take care of that. That's not for us to do it. So there are rules, you know, but I make it very clear that I don't ever want to see anybody on how they pass. They can tell me. If it was a heart attack, if it was a cancer, you know, if it was a shooting, you know, stuff like that. Like when I do forensic work, you know, if they want to show me who the person was that shot them, they can tell me that. They can give me names, dates, stuff like that. But I never want to see the physical part done ever again. Nope, I block it out.
No. So what kind of band on like forensic work? Like, is there a particular case that you turned out well? You're like, or for you, or
I don't. I've done a few. Actually, my best friend was murdered, raped, and murdered, and I walked with the police department when they did the walk. You know, they said, "Let's all walk together. We're gonna walk the woods. We're gonna look for." And I walked with these officers, and I looked at him, and I said, "You're not going to find her. You guys will not find her. Her mother will find her. She only wants her mom to find her." And I kept hearing her yelling at me, "They're not going to find me. They're not going. I will not let them find me." And the next day, her mom and her aunt went out walking in the woods close to where her car was left, and her mom tripped over her body.
Oh, man.
So, you know, it's little stuff like that. And that was back shit. I was probably my early 20s. And I kept telling them, no, she does not want the police to know. She wants her mom to find her. She doesn't want anybody. She wants her mom, period. She wants mom. She doesn't want anybody else. And that's exactly canines, everybody. They had that place covered and nobody could find her. That's not what she wanted. But I do, I have a few cases that I'm supposed to be working on, but I'm so swamped. Like, I can't even tell you. I've got a case in Winchester, and then I have a case here in Martinsburg for a family. You know, this guy got hit on his motorcycle by a truck, and I promised them I would work on it, you know. But I have some cases that are open. I just haven't had the 2 minutes to really sit and do them lately. It's just been so busy.
Now, when you get called on for a case, is it usually the family who comes to you for it, or like, or the police who ask for help, or is it like?
Some police departments are weird about it. They don't let that hold up in court for some reason. But Alabama, I worked on a case with another medium, and we worked on that, and that was solved. And that was through the police department. Now, around here, the one family in Virginia said, you know, the police are willing to, you know, the officer on the case is willing to talk to you, and let's go out to the crime scene, let's do this, let's do that. And, but, you know, will they use it in court? I don't know. Because the things I was telling her was pretty much blowing her mind. I mean, I told her the name of the person that shot him. I saw him, described him to a T. So now she just wants me to come out and talk to the officers,
mm-hmm.
you know, to verify, to validate, you know, what I saw. So, you know, it all depends on the police department or the court systems. Every state's different. Not many police departments are into it.
it's their job to get the evidence. Like, you can get, whether it holds up in court or not, the information you're giving them is valuable. You know, it's like
right
a lead.
Direction.
All they have to do is figure it out.
Yeah. Arrow pointing this way.
Yeah.
Well, this is where you need to go. You know?
Yeah. It's frustrating when people don't validate, you know. I can get that.
Right. Yeah, I've kind of just gotten used to it now. I'm just like, yeah, well, you know, what are you going to do? No matter, I don't care how much I tell police officers, they're going to just blow me off anyway. Just, yeah, yeah. You know, it's just like, hey, okay, whatever. Okay. I'm telling you, but you're not listening. You know, the families are the ones that normally reach out. You know, I've had, like, that little girl that was murdered in Berkeley Springs, you know, I heard a lot about that in my head, and everybody was messaging me. Everybody, like friends, but not the immediate family. So I also learned the rules here. Like, you don't give out information to just anybody. So you got to kind of keep, you know, it's rules of the universe. You just got to keep track of yourself. You know what I mean? I'm not going to sit there and give all these people information. You know what I mean? It's just not cool without the mother talking to me or the father or whoever or the police department. It's not my job without being, you know, asked by the immediate family. So that I've learned. I do not give information out. And I made it very clear to everybody, I'm like, nope, have the mother or the police department contact me and I will do it. But if not, I refuse to touch that.
Because that can just open up a can of worms where it's, especially if it's like a private matter.
Effect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this said this. And parent be like, well, I never talked to this lady, you know, and it's just not worth going down the wormhole.
Mm-hmm. It's that trickle effect. I'm not getting in that. Mm-mm. Nope. Not me. Not if the, like I said, if the mother of the police department contacted me, it's a whole different world. But nope, I won't help anyone. I won't help them unless I talk to immediate family because it's private information, you know what I mean? It's private.
Oh.
I don't want to invade. I'm not invading somebody's privacy.
But going down that.
So let me ask you.
Yeah, go ahead. I was gonna say going down that
you,
path. Okay.
Are you working on some new project? Or looking at a new project or something, because you got some kind of new project like that's a stalemate right now.
Well,
because what I'm hearing is that
we're actually trying to get the cabin. Because my dad owns the property and the houses that are on, and he wants to sell them. So we're trying to figure out a way to keep them. Anything I can
gotcha.
Think of.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, what it's saying here is that what I'm getting here is that what they're saying is that you need to stay strong and stand your ground. Okay. Stand your ground.
Okay.
But also to make sure that you're using your intuitive abilities to listen to what they're saying to you because they are trying to communicate with you. Okay. But what I'm seeing here is that you do need to stand your ground on decision making here. All right. Stand your ground. And that there are that there might be some people behind you that's not always the best have the best thing for you. What is you know what I mean, like the best outlook for you or not looking out for you, like might not have your back, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So
just
avoid people like that. Yeah. Just be cool.
Yeah.
You know, be strong. Be you know, pay attention. Use that intuitive abilities to listen to what you're hearing there. You'll it'll come to you right away, you'll know.
I'll definitely keep my ears open for that because, I mean, we've been going out there to the cabin I've been going out since 2016. Cabin is the reason why Angie and I got together in the first place.
Cool.
Well, she actually had a dream about the cabin, and we met up there, and we've been together ever since.
That's cool.
So it's either a boy
so spirit led you there. That's neat.
Yeah. Yeah. So
well,
I do
plan,
appreciate
plan,
that.
Plan. Yeah, lots of planning. Yeah. Pay attention to details, standing up for yourself,
know that the future is really bright. Like, things are good. Like, it's going to be fine. Everything's going to be great. But you gotta stand up for yourself there.
Are we there together? The future bright for both of us?
Now, what's your first name again?
Angie.
Ryan.
Yeah, I asked for Ryan. Let's see what Angie says. Let's see what they say about Angie.
Oh, Lord.
But yeah, you're definitely there. They're just telling you to stand up for yourself. But yeah, here it is. It's like some kind of decision-making, something that you're just not sure about, like unwilling or unsure about decision-making. That know that all the challenging things are going to be behind you, so everything's going to be right behind you. All your challenging times are behind you from now on. Okay?
Here we go.
That good things are coming. Like, I mean, it's there's a lot of balancing for you guys to do right now. So I see like this balancing act happening, you know, this back and forth stuff. You're going to have to work out balance, home life, work, this, you know, whatever it is. There's going to be a lot of planning, organizing, but balance is going to be number one. Okay.
I may be messaging. You ask me a lot of questions.
Don't
seriously listen to your own intuition.
Well, we have about 5 minutes left, and there is one question I absolutely love to ask everybody because it's just, I think it's a great question. What is on your paranormal bucket list? Like, where are the top three places that you would love to go and see what you get?
Well, I think the cabin would be cool. I'd be a little scared because I'm a scaredy dog when it comes to the dark side, or you know what I mean, or spirits that are rough and tough. Because I did West Virginia, I did Moundsville, and that was just scary to me.
It's not that. It's
I did. Yeah, I did Laurelton. Laurelton is it's a center up in Maryland, which I think is gone now. Private investigation. That place was scary. But I don't know. I would like, there's some places I'd like to do. There would be some locations. I would have to really sit and focus on which ones I'd want to do. Probably more prisons. The prisons are pretty cool. They're pretty chill. I want to go to Maine. For some reason, I'm being drawn up towards Maine. So maybe go see something up there if there's any paranormal up there.
I'm sure there's a lot of paranormal up there.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
So we've got about 90 seconds left in the show. Could you let us, like...
How do we get in touch with you?
Yeah, people get in touch with you.
Let people know how they
can
get you.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, you can check me on Facebook, The Tattooed Medium, MB. I put MB behind it because I had somebody who tried to steal my identity. So look for my picture and my page. It's a like page. It's not a friend page. So don't, if anybody asks to be a friend, no, that's not me. Okay? So somebody tried to steal my identity there. But go to the like page, Instagram. I'm on a couple other video platforms, so you can check me out, you know, like Bigo and stuff like that. But Facebook, basically, or my website, The Tattooed Medium, Melody Brook. You can check me out on my website, and it has all kinds of good stuff about me.
Awesome.
Well, we appreciate you coming on the show and talking with us tonight.
Yeah, well, I should make plans to come down and see the cabin. I would like to do that. I think that'd be cool. Scary and cool.
Yes.
Definitely. We'd love to have you down here. And hopefully we'll be back.
What was that?
So hopefully we can have you back on the show sometime.
Yes, definitely. I thought the name of the show was pretty cool because I always say that. Freaking awesome.
Oh, really?
I love that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I always say that. So I think that's great.
Yeah,
I saw that. I was like, oh, man, that's my show. I need to be on there.
Yeah. I was actually surprised it wasn't another show called that. I'm like, wow, this is, you know, I figure it's pretty an obvious name for a show. So,
right, yeah, I think it's great.
I definitely appreciate you coming on. And, hey, what We're actually going overtime now. We'll see how long we can go before we get cut off. What shows were we on Discovery Channel? Because Angie and I got Discovery Plus, and maybe we should check out some of the shows you were on.
I did the Ghost of Shepherdstown second season, and I was on the Sturgis Road Show on the Travel Channel.
I got you. We'll definitely check it out.
Sweet.
Well, we appreciate it. And
all right.
I'll definitely keep in touch. Have a good night.
All right, you too. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, hun. See ya.